Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with all of you today. It is the 11th day of February 2020, and we are going to read some things that were written a while back ago, and particularly, I don't know why, but particularly some things written to God's daughters. And we want to judge these things according to the Word of God and see if there's not a message here for God's daughters particularly, which I'm going to reserve for just a moment. And I want to read what I believe is probably very important for all of us today. Okay, I'm going to reserve the one for the daughters of Yahweh for just a moment and read something that I believe is very important. Okay. The title of this message was Be Clean. Be clean. What a beautiful word, to be clean. While many of my people are about ministry, maybe this is a word for the ministers of God today, their own lives are a wreck. Mamma mia, right? An unclean spirit has entered into the church and has caused many to be defiled. Beware of those who are outwardly righteous, but inwardly unclean. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. My heart is broken for those whose hearts will not yield to me. My heart is pained over those who have continued to make excuses for their unclean actions. The time for excuses has come to an end. I am directing my people to look up into the perfect law of liberty. For it is in this law, the law of liberty, that my people will be set free. To look in this law is to look into my face. For therein, in my face, does the holiness of my nature and character begin to shine forth into the heart of the one who takes the time to look? Yes, I am the one in whom you may look and find peace for your soul. I am the one in whom you may look and find rest and joy and thanksgiving and glory and honor and power. come look into this perfect law of liberty and see if your heart will not be changed in the twinkling, in a moment of time. Come, look into my face and see the love and compassion that I have for you. Yet because you refuse to come to me and look at who I am, I will cause you to see who you are apart from me. What will you see? Unclean, unclean. I want to talk about that for just a moment. I hear the Spirit of God saying through this particular writing, I'm the one that makes you clean. I'm the one that fills your heart with joy and forgiveness and hope and all good things. Come to me. Sometimes we view God from afar off. Sometimes we look at God through the knowledge, the epignosis, or the scientific knowledge of our brain. Somehow we've heard that God exists. We've read a book called the Bible or some other book about God and about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit, about a place called heaven. And we have this epignosis, but we haven't peered into. We haven't gone beyond the veil into the holy place or into the Holy of Holies to really experience and to become one with God. We haven't had a taste of this liberty that God is talking about. And I believe the call of the Spirit to everybody on this planet that would, beginning in the house of God, for those who believe, it's a lot easier to kind of give up all the busyness for a time, right, of work. We read about that in the book of Revelation last week, or at the beginning, last week. We talked about in the book of Revelation how that church was so busy doing so many things, and they were doing great works, but they had lost their first love. You know, the peering into, the experience, the taste of the goodness of God. And we can get so busy that we neglect the character in our lives. We neglect to see what is in our hearts. And I mean really viewing, really looking, really seeing. And it's not just inward examination or introspection to find out what's wrong with us. What he's saying in this writing is spend that introspection, that investigation, that examination, viewing into the perfect law of liberty, which is in the blood of Jesus Christ, which is in the cross of Christ, to look into the spiritual depth, the spiritual meaning, the value of what God gave to this world in his Son. And by viewing into the grace of God, viewing into the mercy of God, viewing into the golden oil of God, viewing into the love of Christ revealed on the cross, dying for our sins, it's there that the joy and the life and the grace and forgiveness abounds. So God is calling us to look into the perfect law of liberty. And he said, if we don't, what he'll do, if we're trusting in our own righteousness, or we're trusting that somehow our busyness in the ministry, particularly, it could be you going to work every day. It could be you being a mother or a father or a grandparent, you know, getting busy about all these things. We could do all those things in the name of Jesus, like the Church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation, but miss out on what's going on in our hearts. So what God is asking us to do is set some things apart and aside for a while so that we can spend time viewing into the goodness of God. And I believe that as we are viewing into the perfect law of liberty, that we will be set free to be able to tend to these other things with much more grace, with much more power and better results than ever. And so we do this through a clean heart. That's the first part of this message. The next paragraph reads this way. I am the window above through which you may peer into the glories of my kingdom. Yes, a fourth dimension that will sweep you into moments of divine reality wherein no unclean thing may come. Do you believe that there's a world beyond the three-dimensional world that we live in? I'm just asking you. Obviously, if you even have the epignosis or scientific knowledge of what the Bible says, your knowledge, of course you do, because there would be no heaven if there wasn't another dimension, beyond the three-dimensional world that we see, right? So here, Christ is saying, God is saying by the Spirit, Yeshua is the window as we look into the perfect law of liberty, as we look into Christ and what he has performed, as we look into him, our spiritual eyes, the eyes of our faith, are opened to peer through the window of Christ into the dimension of God. And what God is saying is that I want to bring you into a dimension that is a divine reality where no unclean thing may come. You know, there's nothing unclean in heaven. There's nothing unclean in the throne room of God. There's nothing, zero, nada, not just zip, okay, nothing. And yet God is saying that if you'll look into me, if you'll see into me, into Christ, not just with scientific knowledge, but with the knowing beyond the knowledge, with the intimacy, with the into me see, if we look into Christ, I mean, think about it. Just when we begin to focus and look into what the gospel really says about our forgiveness, he died for our sins, and keep looking into Christ, suddenly he promises it'll be like a window opening and we'll be able to peer into divine realities. And then, for within my kingdom, there can be no unclean thing. And so it is that in my church, I will not have that which is unclean in it. So God is calling forth a season of getting cleaned up. What does it mean to be clean? Yeah, obviously, he's not talking about, you know, dirty dishes in the sink, although it may be, believe me, dirty dishes in the sink, dirty clothes on the floor, a messy closet, messy drawers, messy car. All these things are only an outworking of a deeper uncleanness within us. Believe me, it's true. Okay? When our interior is clean, when our psyche is clean, when our soul is clean, when our spirit is clean, when we are cleaned up, something happens to our visual in the natural world where we want things to be set in order and cleaned up. And a lot of times through an unclean spirit, we don't even see the uncleanness that we live in. I had an aunt who has long passed away, who was a dear saint of God. But before she became a saint, she was blinded to the uncleanness in her home. The story goes like this. My aunt went to a woman's meeting, wound up getting born again. When she went to her house with eyes wide open, she began to see cobwebs in areas of the house. She began to see furniture out of order. She began to see all this stuff that she had never seen before. She became aware of the uncleanness when her own uncleanness was washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And so again, God's saying, I want a clean bride. I want a glorious church. I want a washed vessel from the inside out. He continues on. I am coming for a church without spot and wrinkle, one that will outray all the glory of my person and presence. Man, think about that. Here's, you know, I just want to kind of put it together a little bit. Look into Jesus, to the perfect law of liberty that he provided. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Look into him, peer into him, view into him, into me see, right? Into me see. The intimacy, the knowing, not the knowledge, the knowing of the Spirit. Look into me. Spend time. As you do, I'm going to flood you with light and glory and experiences, and I'm going to take you beyond the veil of your own humanity through an open window. And we know that there, God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. But what about God opening a window in heaven and bringing us into it? Like John, the apostle, who went into the realm of God. It wasn't that he was waiting for God to send resources to him. He was resourced by going into the heavenly realms. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a passion. This should be the desire of the bride, to not get something from heaven, but to go in to that place of intimacy, the Holy of Holies, the realm of God, the dimension of God. Paul the apostle went into paradise. Moses saw the glory of God. How many prophets and people of God saw his glory? Well, this is the call, and he says, I'm coming for a church without spot and wrinkle that will outray all the glory of my person and presence. Now, how could I or how could you outray or put on display the glory and presence of Christ out of our lives? Well, if we look into the perfect law of liberty, which opens the window and all the resources fill our hearts because we've encountered a new dimension, if you will, all of a sudden the presence and the glory and the anointing of Christ in us begins to effulgence or outray out from us. This is what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus took the three disciples on the seventh day up into a mountain apart, and there he was transfigured. And that word means to put on display or to outray. And so what was on the inside of him, the glory that was doing all the miracle signs and wonders, raising the dead, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, loosing the tongue of the mute, and opening the ears of the deaf, et cetera, all that was the glory of the anointing, the Christ, the Spirit in him. But they didn't see that. They saw the miracles, but they didn't see the source of those miracles until the Mount of Transfiguration, where he effulgenced and he became whiter than snow, whiter than light. And the glory of God began to manifest all around. Well, that same glory that was in Christ has been given to the disciples of Christ. John 17, Father, the glory you have given me, I have given them. And what is that glory? It's the glory of the eternal Spirit of God. You have on the inside of you the eternal glory of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The idea is to effulgence it. The idea is to outray it. The idea is to put it on display like Jesus did on the Mount of Transfiguration. So how do we do that? Well, obviously, we need a proper configuration if we're going to have a transfiguration. But because of wrong doctrine, we have a wrong configuration. So now we're in a time where God is sending apostolic doctrine back to the church to reconfigure the present configuration so that we could have a proper transfiguration. A transfiguration is almost like turning the lock on one of those little circle locks, and you got to get the code. The transfiguration is getting the code, getting the right numbers all lined up so that the lock will break and there will be the opening. So wrong doctrine prevents an outray or a putting on display of the glory of God that is in us, but the glory of God is within us. Now, have you ever laid hands on the sick and seen them get healed? Absolutely. Have you ever prayed for somebody? Well, we saw the person ask for prayer. We saw you pray and we saw the person get healed. We go, oh, that was great. But who got the glory? Were we giving proper glory to where it was coming from, which is the source? Or were we making a name for ourselves and thinking that somehow we were involved in that other than just being a vessel through which the glory flows? Well, the real thing we want to see is that glory. And if we would see that glory, we would recognize that that is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, oh, what wrestling must take place within your soul. Have you been in a wrestling match in your soul? God is calling for a clean vessel. The priest of the Lord should be clean. All right? Our garments should be clean. Our psyche should be clean, washed in the water and the blood of Christ. Do it right now by looking into Christ. Don't wait for tomorrow. But this is a wrestling match, right? But you've got to wrestle, and you wrestle by looking into Christ, which means you got to bypass all the obstacles and all the distractions, saying, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. No, you cannot be like the Church of Ephesus, doing all this busy work, good work, but not knowing that your heart was being crowded out with all the corruption. So what wrestling must take place within the soul? Oh, what challenges you will face in the days ahead. Have you been facing some challenges? This was written in 2003. Oh, what challenges you will face in the days ahead. You must be through with that which is unclean and an abomination to me. God is saying, I'm wrapping things up. I'm coming to the consummation of the ages. I am cutting the work short, and I am finishing things quickly, for my time has come, and I'm looking for a bride without spot and wrinkle, and I'm going to fill to the overflow. I mean, Holy God knows what he's preparing. But he says the time back in, we're talking 17 years ago. 17 years ago, God was speaking to a people about getting cleaned up before him. When is it going to happen? When are we going to be declared clean? We already are from the heavens through the finished work of Christ. He's not going to die on the cross again. He's not going to give out a new Holy Spirit. I mean, either you have it and I have it or we don't. Okay, so he wants this thing cleaned up. Now, you must be through with that which is unclean and an abomination to me. I will purge you with fire. I will send a cleansing stream of liquid fire into your life until I have purged the filth and the dross from your heart. Wow. Have you been in the last 17 years through the trials and the fiery trials and the testings? Has God sent liquid fire into your life to burn up the dross in your heart? I mean, that's really intense when you think about liquid fire in a spiritual dimension entering into your life, burning up the chaff. Man, that must be heavy duty, right? Well, just think about what you've gone through. Think about what you've been through. And then I do believe that this liquid fire, all it will do is burn up the corruption and chaff, and it will purify the gold within us. So we shouldn't be afraid of it, right? We should not be afraid of it. Now, oh, what confusion is within you. How can you be so concerned with the affairs of the world when your own affairs are so disordered? And again, what the Spirit of the Lord was saying at this writing was we were concerned about this, that, and the other thing. And we were paying attention to all these busyness things in everybody else, but we neglected to look into our own heart, to the disorder of our minds, our emotions, our priorities. We just neglected it. And so the confusion is always trying to fix something out here, looking at the problems, looking at this, worrying about that, being concerned with this. I'm being concerned with my spouse. I'm being concerned with my children. I'm being concerned. There is a proper place for that. But the first thing that you must look into and I must look into is the condition of my own heart. What is the use of trying to fix everything and be concerned and worried about everything out there when my own heart, my own dwelling place of God, your heart and my heart is the dwelling place of God. How can I ignore it? I mean, sometimes we look at what's going on in the world. We look at the end times, the prophecies, and there is a place for that. But when we keep looking out there and we become worried, afraid, anxious, you know, we get busy and we're preparing, but we neglect to look into the own disorder of our ways. See, God here is wanting to get into our personalities. God is wanting to refine and cleanse our character. He's wanting us to be better than what we have become. If you think for a moment that you have arrived, or I do, in the destiny of being conformed into the image of Christ, we're sadly mistaken. How is it that we so easily accept what we have become or where we are because God brought us some distance? Do you think we're really finished? Have any of us really been transformed by the renewing of our minds to the degree that we've been conformed into the image of Christ? No way. And not until we have a proper transfiguration or an outray or putting on display or effulgencing the glory of that divine nature within us and the power that is within us, not until that's out in full force are we done. Through a nature that has been conformed into the likeness of Christ. See, a lot of people say that can't be. That's impossible. We don't even go in that direction. But that's what God is after, according to the scriptures. I mean, we could study this out all the time. And it's glorious if we would give ourselves to it. Why do we neglect looking into our own hearts? Why do we neglect looking at us? Why do we not want to see us? Why do we want to see everybody else's faults? Why do we want to see everybody else's problems? Why are we so interested in looking at world events? Why? If the world events are true and this thing is coming, if there's uncleanness or disorder in us, we're going to suffer. So isn't it necessary, in all sincerity, isn't it just real to look at us? You, look at you. I will look at me. And together we can help each other by holding each other accountable to some degree of saying, you know what, that's not right in you. Folks, listen. If you have eyes to see, if you're tuned in to the Spirit of God, you know what I'm about to say is true. The Spirit of God in you knows what people are thinking, right? I mean, Jesus always knew what people were thinking. He understood their thoughts afar off. The Spirit of God knows what people think. But deeper than that, the Spirit of God sees what's in other people. Now, when you and I, without the Spirit, look at other people, we become critical or judgmental. But when the Spirit of God in us is seeing into someone else's life, it is usually for the purpose of revealing things to that person to help them get through. If they neglect or reject or resist what's being shared with them, then eventually they go on, right? I'm not trying to make this difficult. I'm just saying this is part of our journey here. Now, let me get on with this. I urge you to come out of that place wherein you have found comfort. For of a truth, I say to you that there is no comfort in that which is unclean that will endure the days ahead. You see, I believe what we do sometimes, and I think maybe we've all been guilty to a degree. I'm not going to say all, because some haven't. We get out of trouble in some area of our life. We go through whatever to get somewhere. And we're not in that trouble anymore. It's gone. Something happened. But then we settle like settlers. We're no longer pioneers moving on to the highest heights. We become like settlers, and we settle down, and we go, boy, we really got through that stuff. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not like I used to be anymore. And we set up camp. And before you know it, we sit down in our lazy chairs. We turn on the television. We watch it for hours. And we conduct ourselves in a manner that is, you know, at church, we're pretty good. At home, we're not. And we kind of go through the motions and we put on and we do this. And we kind of adapt to that kind of environment. And we live in it, and we're not feeling as guilty as we were in the last trial we were in, because we got through it, but we repented, we confessed, now we're better, and we settle into this comfort zone. But within that comfort zone, there are still things within the nest, if you will, that are unclean, and God is saying, get out of that comfort zone. And if you don't, I will shake your comfort zone, I will tear up your nest, like he says in Deuteronomy, to the eagle's nest. The mother eagle will finally come when that little eaglet is just kind of swooping around. I will tear up your nest. I will make things so uncomfortable for you that you're not going to be able to stay anymore. You're going to be forced to fly. You're going to be forced to move. Now, what's God's purpose? He wants you and I to move on in the eternal purpose. The eternal purpose is not ministry. It's not your children, grandchildren. It's the eternal purpose of God for you and me is to conform us into his image. We get that, right? So this is really cool. It's simple. And we would say hallelujah, because why? Do you want to stay the same person you are? Are you content with you? Am I content with me? Am I happy to be me now? Do I feel comfortable in my skin? Well, woe to us if we are, and yet we're not perfected. Because if we're not perfected, that means there's an imperfection within us. And if we could be comfortable with our imperfections, then something's wrong. Now, we go on. I say to you, all right, or I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. I counsel you to buy of me eye salve, that you may truly see what your life is apart from me. You know, when I was contemplating this, I thought, what would my life be apart from Jesus? And you know what I said? I don't want to know. I already know. I know what life was like without Jesus. I don't want to know what I would look like right now before God in my imperfect, unfinished state. I don't want to know. What I want to know is I want to look into Christ. I want to look into Jesus, and I want that window to open and him to resource me with the glory within to extend the 10 pegs of my heart so that I have more capacity to receive a more fuller reality of Christ in me. All right? But here it is. Maybe we need to see it. Maybe God just needs to say, okay, you're comfortable where you are. You like where you are. This is the way you're going to be. This is it. See, I had that experience two years ago on a mountaintop. Vincent, is this as far as we're going? Because you're paralyzed. You got a father wound. You're broken. And I've taken you this far, but I can't take you any further. So he had to show me something in my heart. What does God need to show you? I know what he showed me. Corruption, defilement in my own heart while I've been living. Not corruption of doing evil things. A father wound. A stupid father wound. That I could not give up, and in not giving it up, I denied the glory of my real Father in heaven, right? So maybe we do need to see what we look like apart from God, even in our present state, regardless of how far we've come, because we're not done yet. We're not done until we're done. Amen? Okay, and we need to be well done. Now, yes, your eyes must see the truth of your condition. You need to see it. Your wife seeing it isn't good enough. Your pastor seeing it isn't good enough. You need to see the true condition of your heart. And remember, in this writing, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. There are people everywhere so content and happy with themselves, but everybody around them can see they're messed up through the eyes of faith. That's not a degrading thing. I mean, people can see that about me. They can see that about you. They can see it about anybody. But sometimes people that are most content with themselves, I'll give you an example, and I have to be careful. This is way outside the church. I know people that are in the world, one foot in the kingdom, one foot in the world, very happy with themselves. I know New Agers that are into mantras and philosophical Buddhism that are very happy with themselves. They think they're... But when you look in their lives, they're a wreck. They are a wreck. And there are people in the body of Christ exactly like that. There are people that think they're fine. They say, I don't have any problems with demons. I don't have any problems. I'm fine. And yet, their lives are living proof that they have major issues. What is that? It's total and complete blindness. So God says, I need to show you your condition. He says, a great blindness is over the minds of many who can no longer see the truth of their circumstances. Many of these will seek out teachers who will tickle their ears and will not endure the truth spoken to them. Most people that are not concerned about their character or conduct or personality before the Lord or their uncleanness or discombobulation or disorder of their spirit, soul, body, mind, emotions, they don't want to go where that's going to be exposed. They want to go and hear Bible stories that are beautiful, tantalizing, wonderful. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I want to make it clear. But we have to remember what it means to look into the perfect law of liberty is the law that sets us free. So when we're really looking into Christ and his word, what it should do is shine in us so that we can be liberated from all uncleanness. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Here we go. So this will bring them into a worsened state and cause them to error and fall. Seeking out soothsayers, seeking out people that will scratch your back and tickle your ears and do you favors and tell you all the things you love to hear about yourself is going to bring you into a worsened state. It's just a reality. And it's going to cause you to go into error and fall. In the last days, the love of many will wax cold. You know why? Because they never really loved in the depth that they needed to love. Their love was superficial. It was based upon, tell me nice things, smooth things, and I'll be okay. I'm telling you, this is God's word. So he says, buy of me the gold tried in the fire. This gold has been purged in the flames. The heat and the pressure has pressed out the unclean dross and has brought forth the pure and undefiled. I want to ask you a question. Do these words resonate in your spirit? Clean? Purified? I mean, I love this one. Undefiled? Do you love that? I mean, does your heart crave that? Pure, undefiled, purified, cleansed, washed, sanctified. You, beautiful you, your cup cleansed on the inside, not externally. Your cup, your plate, washed thoroughly all the way from the inside out. You know how it happens? Look into the perfect law of liberty. Look into Christ. Peer into him. See what he has done on your behalf. Just look into it, right? Finishing this up, remember Lot's wife. I have said that he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And so I say unto you this day, do not look back. Remember Lot's wife. No, press ahead with renewed ambition and determination, to finish the work that you have begun, and know that it is I who have begun this work in you. In other words, the work that we began was to cooperate with the work that Christ began in us. So let us continue to cooperate with him to the finishing of this. Let's become the end time bride of Christ in the end time army of God. And here's what you do. Look into Jesus Christ. He is the image of you. He is the proper image of your heart. Christ. Find him, look into him, peer into him, embrace him, grab hold of the hem of his garment. He is you. What he is in spirit and in truth and in nature and in character is you. That's powerful. That's the truth. That's why he says to peer into him. And the more we look into Jesus, you died for me. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I don't walk in the flesh. I have the mind of Christ. I don't operate out of the carnal mind. I love God. I will not allow Satan to bring condemnation, guilt, and shame for my past sins. I will do what the Word of God tells me to do. I will understand conviction and the difference between conviction and condemnation. I will recognize that God is much mercy for my life. As I'm in this journey, when I fall, he'll pick me up. But he's given me grace to overpower the world, the flesh, and the devil. Grace is not weak. It is powerful to the victory and completion of everything that God wants. So this is peering into him, looking into him. God doesn't want you walking around messed up. He doesn't want me walking around messed up. He doesn't want us walking around guilty, ashamed, and condemned. He wants us confident, bold. He wants us victorious. And you and I could get into that realm today. And it will take us into places we've never dreamed. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced. Now, allow me to finish the work, for the time of the end is come. See, we're not neglecting end time prophecy. I had 15 different messages today from 15 different people telling me all the crazy stuff going on in the world, okay? From every direction. I know that. And you could hear that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But every once in a while, you need to remember something. That this isn't about all that stuff. It's about you. God loves you. God's not messed up over the world events right now. Heaven isn't disturbed by it. Are you kidding me? God is building a house. God is looking for his dwelling place, and it's not going to be in the temple in the Middle East. It's going to be in the temple of your heart and the hearts of whoever will allow the Holy Spirit to prepare this house, right? So, have you not heard? Has it not been published from the four corners of the earth that this is the seventh day. Oh, if you don't know, it's the seventh day. We need to get involved in some conversation here. Yes, this is the day wherein all things are coming to completion, perfection, and are being finished. That's the number seven. What do you mean we're in the seventh day? Well, search it out. Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years. Abraham to Christ, 2,000 years. Christ to the year 2000 in this season, another. That's 6,000 years. And we have just begun the seventh, or actually in the spring, right ahead of us, in March 26th, I believe it is this year, when the new year begins, the real new year, the first day of the first month of the new year, where it will be really 5780, and you really begin to look at the numbers around and about, and you find the possibility and potential that we're coming to the genuine 6,000-year timeline, and a new day is ready to begin, but we have to go through the birthing canal of a 3.5-year great tribulation before the millennial 1,000-year, which is as a day, reign of Christ comes on the earth. We're so close to the seventh day, it's not even funny, right? So he says here, get this. It's the time when everything is wrapping up, completion, perfection, things being finished. Will you not allow me? Will you? Will I not allow me, Father God, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, to finish the work I began in you? Remember the first days and return to your first love, wherein you ran to me with all your heart. When was your first day? Was it at a camp meeting? Was that an altar in a church? Where did it happen to you? Where did the zeal of God hit your heart? When did you get born again? When were you filled with the Holy Spirit? When did you get immersed and baptized into the kingdom of God, into Jesus Christ? When did it all make sense to you and God was everything? When? Go back there, right? That's what he's saying. Remember the former days. Remember the days where you fought such a great fight of affliction and took your stand against all unrighteousness. Remember? When the devil came against you, you were tempted, tossed, afflicted. He was warring, breathing down, but you fasted. You prayed. You bound. You rebuked. You went for counseling. You got prayer. You went to Bible studies. You read your Bible. You pressed in, and you got the victory. So remember that kind of success. This day that we're moving into right now, it's all around us swirling, must be a double portion day. A double portion day for you, beloved. For you are in great need of supernatural deliverance. Oh, mamma mia. We need to be delivered from things we don't even know we need to be delivered from. God is saying, did you hear the promise? You need a supernatural deliverance because there's nobody in church doing it for you and you don't know what your problems are yourself. So I'm going to send a double portion of my spirit, and when you really want it, I'm going to have vessels prepared to lay hands on you, to speak the words of God into you, counsel you, and get you set free. I believe that. Man, a double portion of God's Spirit in the realm of deliverance. I say yes. Anybody else? Here we go. I warn you that you cannot remain in the state you are. That's not talking about Kentucky. You cannot remain in the state you are, the condition of heart. Repent, repent. Arise from the dust. This is amazing. Arise from the dust, O daughters of Jerusalem. Shake yourselves. Now, that is a miracle. I'm going to explain something to you in just a moment about the daughters. Remember I told you at the beginning I was going to read to you about the daughters of Jerusalem? I got to tell you what's going on here. So, arise from the dust, O daughters of Jerusalem. Shake yourselves. Arise and sit down. Yes, take your seats of authority once again and do that which I have commanded you to do. What's going on here this morning? I've got thousands of pages of prophecies that I have written over many, many years. I haven't been near them. A book is being written about these prophecies. I had a few of them laying in a basket. And this morning when I was getting ready to present the word, I felt the Spirit of God say, I want you to go into that basket and pull out, I have a stack, probably a stack this big, of prophecies. All right, here they are. Just woo. And I picked it up, and the first one I saw was this one. Daughters of Jerusalem. Can you see that? Daughters of Jerusalem. But then I saw this one, which I've been reading to you, which was be clean. Here's the fact. I knew that I needed to read Daughters of Jerusalem, but I saw be clean, and my spirit just kind of read that first. I had no idea what was in this prophecy until I'm reading. Now, I wrote it 17 years ago, but I'm reading it, and I could sense the anointing on it. And then it ends with what I just read. Arise from your dust, O daughters of Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to read a prophecy, Daughters of Jerusalem. There it is. So let's see what it says, because I didn't know I would be reading these today. I didn't read them and study them and prepare for the Bible study. I'm just being obedient to God as much as I know how. I'm allowing that word into my heart. I hope you've allowed it into yours. But here's the supernatural thing. Daughters of Jerusalem, this is for you. Are you ready? We all need to be cleaned up. There's no doubt about it. So I'm just going to read this. I'm going to just read this quickly. All right. Daughters of Jerusalem. Again, this was written in February of 2003. I didn't know that till right now. We're talking 17 years ago this month. And it was written on the 21st, by the way. Maybe this is for one woman today. Maybe this is just for one female, one of God's daughters. Listen. Oh, how my heart breaks for the daughters of Jerusalem. Hear, O my daughters, for I have seen your pain because of the wickedness of your hearts. You have allowed the seducer to enter into the land and corrupt your fields. You have opened your mind to that which is unholy and causes the land to be defiled. Now your time of sorrow is come. And what will you do? How will you endure the hardships that are coming? You will weep and you will mourn and you will undergo the fire of judgment and purging. For I will send fire into your land in order to purge the filthiness of your flesh and soul. My love for you has not changed, and my grace is still sufficient, my daughters, but I will surely cleanse that which has become unclean. According to the measure of your filth will be the measure by which I shall purge you. Why does my heart break? Because of the plans I have for you. I have planned for you a glorious, joyful life filled with special blessings and enjoyments. I have planned for you to walk with me in the cool of the day and to be with me where I am. Oh, how I have longed for you. Why, my daughters, have you chosen the way of the world? Why have you chosen gods and idols that can do you no good? These are but idols that cannot profit you. So why would you exchange your God for that which is not? Yes, fire will come and it will be increased in its heat. For this is the day of the Lord. The fire of my jealousy shall burn through the nations of the earth, and they who have scoffed at me shall come under severe and intense destruction. I urge you to call upon me, O nations, that I would spare you from this hour. Yet I say the hour is late, and my plans will no longer be delayed. You have played the harlot, and therefore will gain a harlot's reward. I will thrust you into a sick bed, and your lovers shall lay with you and become sick. All who make contact with you will become a curse and a derision. Ouch! Yet, my daughters. I will save you. As a remnant shall come through the fire. To this remnant I have reserved my love and will pour into you grace upon grace. I will have you to come to me with open arms and hearts after that your rebellion is through. I would have you to stand by my side when your unrighteousness has been purged. For after that you have been made clean, you will see me for who I am and not according to what you have been deceived to believe. You will know of my justice and my peace. You will know of my holiness and my love, for you will see me with eyes unveiled and hearts wide open. You will no longer see through a glass dimly, but will see me face to face. Then you will love me as I have loved you, and you will willingly yield your being to me. Then, my daughters, I will be a father unto you and will lead you into that which I have desired for you since the world began. My daughters, I have said to you through my word that I would receive you if you would not touch the unclean thing. However, you have touched that which is unclean. And for a time and a season, you shall experience my hand of discipline. And if you do not harden your hearts, then will I receive you unto myself and will be your God and shall surely and truly be my daughters. 17 years ago. Is there a woman out there that 17 years ago was carrying around filth in their spirit, uncleanness in spirit? Well, it's possible. It's possible. I've got calls coming in right now. I'm going to look to this broadcast. Perhaps you're tuning in right now. Eddie, good morning. Shalom. Sitting at the Whole Foods and have the loud on my phone, putting the gospel. Praise God for Denny and Sally. God bless you. We love you so much. Is there a cry? Have you heard anything today? Let me see if my brother here just called me. Let's see if he's on the phone. No, he's not. Okay. You know, it's so interesting to me when I minister, and I didn't know I was going to do this today, but it's so interesting to me that when I go into this kind of depth and the Spirit of God starts dealing with our inners, fewer people usually are tuned into the broadcast. It's amazing to me. So I have to believe that those who are tuned in are the ones that really want to go this way. I have to believe that you're one of them that wants to be clean. Christ has done the work. It's already finished. Your faith in what Christ has done, the eyes of your faith peering into what Christ has done, the perfect law of liberty was on the cross. It's not in a book. It's in a person. And I have to believe you're listening to this right now and enduring this conversation right now because there's something in you that says yes. You're the remnant. You're part of that remnant that really wants to be God's house. And you realize it's not going to be by the waving of a wand. There is a price to be paid. Christ paid the price for all, but we too are called to pick up our cross and follow him. We too are called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We too are called to take the tools that have been given to us and apply them to our lives. Application. Got a call coming in right now, 479-321. Let's take that first call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Brother Phil. How are you today, sir?
Good. I heard something. You said I missed part of what you said earlier about liquid fire, but it reminds me of a couple of things I read about fire a while back. Number one was in Psalms 29:7. It says, the voice of the Lord divides the flame of fire. Or in King James, divided. And then in Isaiah 33:14, it says, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell, with everlasting burnings? And to me, that's dividing into the fire, and then I think of it as devouring fire is the lake of fire and everlasting burning, or maybe backwards. The devouring fire will burn the chaff out. But what intrigued me about what you said earlier is I had thought of liquid fire.
Mm. Yeah, that struck me too. That was very, very loud, wasn't it?
Well, I just heard the liquid fire part. I didn't hear the scripture ahead of it.
Yeah. So that liquid fire would come and it would produce, it would cleanse the dross out of the heart and burn up the chaff and all that good stuff. So praise God. Praise God.
Yeah. Well, when you say liquid fire, that's how you look at it. It's not fire. I understand the devouring fire that devours the chaff out of us.
Yeah.
And the dross. Is that what you mean by liquid fire?
I believe when the Word of God tells us that every Christian endures three baptisms, the baptism of water, the baptism of Holy Spirit, the wind, and the baptism of fire. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I believe that baptism of fire is that liquid fire that gets in through the fiery trials that we go through, all intended to produce that golden nature, that divine nature within us.
Okay, I thought you had said just before that a specific verse about liquid fire. I see what you mean now. Okay, well, I just kind of wondered.
Yeah, well, thank you for the call, Phil. I appreciate it. I got a great call coming in as well from one of our friends on the YouTube. This is from Marisha, and I'm going to put it on the screen. It truly is a time for the women of God who have cleansed their hearts in the fire to rise up in the calling of the Holy Spirit and minister bringing deliverance. Amen, Marisha. I absolutely love that comment. Isn't that a good one? That's a good one, Phil.
Amen.
Amen. So I love that because rather than taking offense to the word, what we find is, you know, hey, I'll bet you Marisha knows a little bit about going through the fire. Hallelujah. Joseph Reynolds, he's saying this. In the Holy Spirit is a major key understanding logos. Absolutely. How are we going to understand the word of God without the Holy Spirit revealing it to us? All right. We're waiting for your call. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Marisha says when I said she probably knows something about that fire, I sure do. I bet through the last 17 years, there's a number of sisters out there that have probably been through the fire, huh, Phil?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, some men too, I bet. We haven't even started with the men. Mamma mia. Yeah. All right. Well, praise God. This is really designed. Phil, thanks for the call. I'm going to give opportunity for some other calls to come in. I appreciate you. God bless you, my friend. And Joseph says, logos, not rhema. So what is the logos? That is the written word of God. That is the logos word of God. Everything on our lap in that book, we need the Holy Spirit to give us interpretation, no doubt about it. That's a good word, Joseph. I appreciate it. We're waiting for your call. Maybe you have a testimony. Maybe there's something you'd like to share. Make sure you call that number, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad. We have a friend calling in from 605. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
The journey of life is something. And there's a lot of trials and tests, but I have gone through many things in life. But I'm really encouraged because of the reports I am hearing from people that have been calling and I've been talking to. You know what? The prodigals are sons, which are daughters too, are coming to Jesus Christ. And the people, the parents, have been praying and praying for years. I've had report after report of people that their daughters and sons are returning to the Lord. And I thought, what time is it? And you know what? It's 2 minutes to 12, I believe, according to the clock of God.
Wow, 2 minutes to 12. 2 minutes to 12. That's huge. That is huge, Kathy. And I'm glad you're being encouraged. I thank God for that. Again, with that being said, I want to share Coming up on the YouTube screen, yes, says one dear sister, my desire is to be soft gold that can be molded by him. Only that can be done when the dross is out. Lord God, I say yes to double portion deliverance. Hallelujah. Another proper response from a dear sister calling in today. All right. Very, very good. We are just out of time. Now, I want you to, I've got to say this. My friend Art is supposed to call in around 9 o'clock so we could pray together. And he's been waiting to the very end of the broadcast. So Art, on Thursday, not tomorrow, but Thursday, you have to call in at 9 o'clock. Somebody give him an alarm clock. I want him to pray for the body of Christ on Thursday. Tomorrow, Wednesday, on our KIRM radio, I'm going to be interviewing Carolyn Buss, who just went through a major cancer issue on our AM/FM radio station. So we're going to be looking forward to that interview. I've got to go. There's a roundtable discussion right now on omegaradio.org. And I've got to figure out this thing about Rhema and Logos, because I thought the Rhema was the personal word and the Logos is the written word. But I've got a friend here telling me that it's the other way around. I'm going to search it out. Till we meet again tomorrow, be blessed. Holy Spirit, have your way in the lives of all of your people. Remember, omegaradio.org. Right now, roundtable discussion. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Shalom.